This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
9:07 Eastern is when Houston and Kansas will tip off at Fog Allen, and we got ourselves a ball game at the Dean Dome. Can Louisville get the comeback here? 74-69, but some free throws upcoming here for the Cardinals, trailing by five with 51 seconds to go, and a 1-1, and Ryan Cromwell is able to bury the first free throw there for the Louisville Cardinals. So a 74-70 game. Ryan Conwell, 22 points tonight, and he's kind of been the go-to guy down the stretch, I would say, here for the Louisville Cardinals. Mykel Brown, still 21 points, 8 of 23 from the field in this game. Three-point game right now for the Louisville Cardinals, trailing by three.
Yeah, trailing by three, and you thought you made a bad bet when they fell down by 14, but they got right back into the game here.
You know me, Matt. I stay positive all the time. I'm just always positive.
You're like a taller version of Chris Massaro. Happy-go-lucky, always positive. 74-71, 46 seconds ago.
Chris Massaro was happy yesterday. He got himself a Pat Riley bobblehead and watched the Celtics beat the Lakers. He was like a pig in you-know-what.
You want to talk about a trend? The Lakers in their last 11 games as underdogs, 0-11 ATS.
Is that good?
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's good if you're betting against the Lakers.
That's true. They're like Air Force when they're an underdog.
I mean, what that indicates is that when the Lakers are going to have to step up in class against better teams in the West, they're not going to get it done. They're not in that top class of teams in the Western Conference. And I don't think that's a revelation when you're talking about the Spurs, the Thunder, the Nuggets, the top teams in the West. The Lakers just don't belong in that class.
I would even take the T-Wolves over the Lakers this year. I mean, the way I would trust Anthony Edwards. Of course, we got that last year in the playoffs, and the T-Wolves were able to get the best of that. 74-71, our score, 46 seconds to go between UNC and Louisville.
As far as your live bet here, plus 7.5 on Louisville, you made that bet when they were down, what, 9, 10?
It was 49-40, UNC made the bet at the under 16 media timeout. UNC continued their 17-2 run. I think they went up 53-40. And since then, Louisville's been slowly chipping away at this. Seth Tremble, by the way, picking up Caleb Wilson's slack, if you will. 28 points tonight for Seth Tremble. UNC, a team that I'm curious about, Matt. How healthy is Caleb Wilson going to be back? How effective is he going to be when he returns from that hand injury? When is he going to return from that hand injury? He's missed now five games for UNC, but they have not fallen off the face of the earth. They had that bad loss to North Carolina State, losing by 24 in that spot as a pretty significant dog. That was a spot I really did like NC State. I think I laid 6 or 7 with NC State. But, you know, since losing Caleb Wilson, they're 2-2, Matt, since the Duke game. Classic letdown spot against Miami. But big possession here for UNC. And as they trail, or lead by three, I beg your pardon, as they went off as a small dog in this one. And Louisville's going to have the ball, Matt, and a chance to tie this game up. Will UNC foul? As Louisville's going to go right to the bucket, and they miss a layup. Wow.
And miss the putback, and it's going to be a foul. Carolina going to the free throw line with 12 seconds left. And the live number indicated 3.5 before that play, so I knew the Cardinals were not going to score.
You, did, Kelsey not,
you did not want this to go to overtime.
No, never. I was sitting with some friends before the UNLV-Colorado State game last Wednesday.
You went to that game?
I did. It was a disaster by UNLV.
What do you expect? UNLV won on the road at Boise State, so they're going to come home and lose.
You know what? Yeah. I blame JVT. JVT was there with me and a couple others, and I was ready to take Colorado State. And JVT, the homer that he is, took UNLV. I'm like, well, I don't want to be the guy who's got the different bet.
He took UNLV.
I was surprised by it. I was surprised. Wow. And, I mean, it was just a homer play, and it wasn't on the VSiN picks page or anything like that. But I was sitting.
You can't bet the Rebels off a big win.
No.
I mean, that's why we're going to talk about sandwich spots when you're handicapping. You want to bet against teams off big wins, and we got a couple of those spots on tomorrow's card.
Look at Kansas on Saturday, coming off of a big win. laid a stinker against Cincinnati. 9 seconds to go, 76-71 UNC with the lead, and Seth Tremble just buried a couple of free throws. But what I was saying, Matt, is I was watching the Arkansas-Alabama game just on last Wednesday night. What a game it was. I want to talk about Arkansas because I'm curious.
Was that 118-117 in triple overtime?
It went to double overtime, and Arkansas down 117-115 missed a putback dunk that would have forced triple overtime. And I was sitting at the bar with Arkansas plus 4.5, hoping to everything holy that he would miss that putback dunk, and he did, because Arkansas was also very shorthanded that night, and they had fouls.
What a game.
It was incredible. Darius Acuff is worth the admission, man. That dude is an absolute baller. What do you got over there? You said, oh, my, look at this.
North Carolina gets a steal and a three-pointer at the buzzer, 79-71.
You can't say things like that. Nah, people are listening.
That's a joke. Tim's got plus 7.5. They lose by 8. No, that's not going to happen.
76-71 right now, Louisville with the ball, and 9 seconds to go. This would be a nice win for UNC, assuming they hold on to this lead here. Good hit by the professor, Aaron Moore, who took the points with UNC. But this is, Matt, why we come on this show and do live betting. You could have got UNC plus 8.5 early on in the first half, and you could have got Louisville. I think the peak was 11.5.
Yeah, we were talking about, should you take the 5.5? Yeah, probably. And then it goes up to 6.5, 7.5, 11.5. Well, they're covering the 5.5 right now. 9 seconds to go. If they miss this and the foul and the rebound, then you're in trouble. But they don't. They miss. They get the offensive rebound, the Cardinals do, and hit a three with 0.8 seconds left. And that's going to be the final. What are you doing here?
I'm going to call it time. I guess Pat Kelsey wants to check the clock to see if they have more time to put on the clock. Hubie Brown is not thrilled, or Hubert Davis, excuse me, is not thrilled over there on the sidelines. So a three-pointer, I believe that was from Michael Brown. It goes through the net 1.3 seconds, so they will put a little bit of time back on the clock. 76-74, UNC with the lead. And if I'm UNC, I'm just throwing this ball down the court. And
as soon as it gets touched, the clock should expire.
Yep.
As long as you don't throw the ball out of bounds.
I'm surprised more teams don't do that. Now, yeah, there is the risk if it goes out of bounds, and obviously Louisville would get it, but you send someone down the floor, you throw it three-quarters court.
Should be a pretty easy play to execute.
Even if Louisville catches it, you let them shoot a three-quarters court shot. Not ideal, but 76-74 is the score. They're checking the clock. They are going to put 1.3 seconds on, so a half a second added to it. About to get underway at Fog Allen, and the closing number in this one, Matt, will be 2.5 across the board. So late money coming in on the Houston Cougars. Total going to hang out around 138.5. No pregame bet for you. Lean towards the under. I do have a pre-flop bet on Kansas plus 2, and we'll see how this game plays out. As UNC going to inbound the ball here with 1.3 seconds to go and get the ball in. Good Lord.
They're not doing what you said.
And they didn't, and they got very lucky to get a foul underneath the basket. What did they call here? There seems to be some confusion. I believe there was a foul called on UNC.
The game is not over yet. North Carolina up by 2. I think we're going to get 2 free throws for the Tar Heels. That was very bizarre inbound. Now, of course, we have to have an official review. Anyway, let's throw the VSIM Pro Picks up there one more time before this game tips off. And Lawrence, we got 5 plays on the game. And Dustin Sweetelson on the under. That's the way I lean here, too. Under 138.5, that's the number right now at Circa. I would lean with the dog, but again, like I said, I did not bet this. I'm going to live bet this game.
Is there a number in mind you're looking? Are you looking?
Well,
for
I just
Houston
want I want to see how the game kind of plays out in the beginning.
69% of bets on Houston minus the points as it is underway at DraftKings.
Yeah, it's underway now.
Yeah, just underway. Yep.
Is this an ESPN game?
Yeah, it's going to follow this as the. By the way, as much as we love March Madness, and it is my favorite sporting event of the year.
You can't fit these games into two-hour windows. With all the
official reviews are just
official reviews and all the delays
on a
in the game.
Of brutal.
When you try to cram these games into two-hour windows, you're going to have what we have right now, which is Houston and Kansas starting on ESPNU. Come on. While we have a five-minute official review about whether two-tenths of a second should have run off the clock.
Speaking of ESPNU, I have to give a shout-out to Kanoa Leahy, who was thrust into action by the four-letter network out on the island. And what a game it was, Matt, on Saturday night. Our guy Kanoa, the energy inside that arena on Saturday night for Hawaii's 78-75 overtime win over UC Santa Barbara. I tell you what, folks, if you're
coming. That was on ESPNU Saturday night. I got back just in time to watch Iowa State, BYU. Of course, we had BYU, and then watched the Hawaii game, and that was a classic game. Kanoa Leahy on the call. Our favorite Hawaii announcer on the call for ESPNU.
Yeah, great win, and hopefully we get part three in Henderson in a couple of weeks in the Big West tournament. All right, free throws coming. Derek Dixon at the free throw line, 83% shooter. He can salt this game away with two makes. He misses the first, so will he miss the third on purpose? No timeouts, so we will see how this one plays out. 76-74. The Jayhawks up 3-0, Matt. Let's call it now. Kansas wins 3-0 over Houston. All right, an inbound coming here to wrap this thing up. Louisville will try to throw it the length of the floor. This game has gone on agonizingly long here in the Dean Dome. A heave. They're not going to have time to put up a shot. 77-74, UNC with the minor upset. Louisville plus 7.5 in game, though, comes home. On to Kansas Houston. We'll update you on what's unfolding at Fog Allen. On the other side, it's VSIN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
North Carolina a winner, 77-74. The under does come home in that game. UNC a slight dog. And if you were able to get UNC at a better price earlier in the game, that, of course, comes home. And if you were able to get Louisville at a better price in the second half, that comes home as well. 77-74, the final score. Chris Massaro was able to grab Louisville in-game, Matt, so he was happy about that, but not thrilled that UNC missed 10 free throws, as I believe he had some live over at around 152 or so. So the missed free throws did not make our buddy, the madman, too thrilled.
9 for 19.
Yeesh.
But North Carolina still pulls off the upset, and that was good for the professor, Aaron Moore, who took the points of Carolina. Darren Peterson, the favorite to be the NBA number one draft pick on the floor right now, and the Kansas trails Houston 4-3. 4 minutes and 6 seconds into the game. This is off to a slow start for both sides.
Live total, curious how much it's dipped. It's dipped 6 points from where this thing opens. So we had bets prior to the game over at VSiN.com. We've been talking about them leading up to this. 3 on Kansas, 1 on Houston, 1 on the under. Dustin Sweetelson had the under, and right now the under is off to a good start. Dustin Sweetelson could wipe his hands clean, take over 132.5 right now, try to middle this bad boy and say, I'm a winner. So we will see how this game plays out. But a good start for the under, but obviously a long ways to go. 15:44 to go in the first half. 4-3 Houston with a early lead over Kansas.
Minutes missed. I see this DraftKings put out this tweet. Darren Peterson of Kansas, minutes played this season, 435. Minutes missed, 565. He has missed, what, 11 games? And he's pulled himself out of some other games in the second half. But he's still the favorite to be the NBA number one draft pick, which I don't think he will be. I will say this. If the Utah Jazz get the number one pick, they're going to take A.J. DeBanta.
For sure.
So a lot of it could depend, you know, what my bet's going to come down to with the Bansa plus 550 to be the top pick. Who's going to have that top pick?
Regardless, having
who would your favorite team, the Wizards, take?
I don't know. Cameron Boozer?
Maybe.
I have no idea. I mean, who knows they would do at that spot. If I had to guess what the irrelevant franchise in Washington, D.C. would do, probably Darren Peterson, but I have no inside insight on that. Matt, you mentioned this to the professor. Curious your thoughts and where you have from a futures standpoint. So right now, when you look at the futures board, it's kind of like multi-tiered. And the top tier of the futures is Michigan, Arizona, Duke. Houston's kind of hovering around. They've dropped a little bit. This is DraftKings plus 750. Michigan, Arizona, Duke, all south of plus 450.
Right.
Then you've got Illinois and Florida. These are the two futures I have. I added these each in the past month. So I grabbed Illinois at 15-1, Florida at 17-1. Those are the only two futures I currently have in pocket. I didn't get any preseason bets down on the NCAA tournament futures market, Matt. And then you have another tier, which is Iowa State and UConn. Then you go to another tier, Kansas and Purdue. I'm curious right now, what futures do you have in pocket? And are there teams of interest right now? And I know we're so close to the bracket that I might want to just wait and see how the bracket plays out and say, all right, now I'm going to grab Arkansas because I like their draw, whatever it may be.
Let's see. I'll tell you what I got. Just off the top of my head, Michigan 20-1.
Not bad.
I've got Illinois at, I think, 23-1. Florida at 25-1. Whew. UConn at, I'm going to say, 15 or 16-1, somewhere around there. St. John's, I bet a few weeks ago at 90-1.
I mean, they are. They're as hot as any team in the country right now.
And I have nothing on Arizona, nothing on Duke. A little bit on Houston, I think, at 10-1, but it's not that much. Nothing on Iowa State, nothing on Kansas, nothing on Purdue. And that's about it. So Michigan, Illinois, Florida, UConn, St. John's are my top futures. I'd love to see St. John's get there. Johnnies are hot right now.
They are.
They got a Hall of Fame coach. They get the right draw. It could work out. The three-point shooting is going to be an issue when they get to the tournament, like it was last year when St. John's got upset by Arkansas and could not hit a shot from three. By the way, Darren Peterson missed from three. Kansas misses another from three. This is trending under early. It's a long way to go, but Houston 6-3, 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah, the shooting not off to a good start there for the Kansas Jayhawks. 6-0 run here, make it 8-0 run for the Houston Cougars.
That's a score in the paint for the Cougars. They get the ball in there and dunk it, and that's what Kelvin Sampson was talking about. We got to get more points in the paint and around the rim, preferably off a fast break where your defense is going to create fast break opportunities. But right there, the Cougars score at the rim, and they're up 8-3. So notice right here is that the Jayhawks are having a lot of problems against this Houston defense early.
Already,
3 points in the first 5.5 minutes.
Already 4 turnovers for Kansas. This has not been pretty. And if I remember correctly, they got off to a slow start in the early going against Arizona and then were able to get it going. But we'll see how this game unfolds. As tell you one thing. Well, I guess Iowa State went down double digits, wow, and it didn't seem to matter. But this is not what you want. Houston now on an 11-0 run as they lead 11-3, 14 minutes to go. And if you wanted to jump in on the Kansas Jayhawks live, well, this might be a decent time. However, I don't like the way this game has started, Matt. So I do have a pre-flop bet on Kansas at 2. It's up to 6.5, and it would be a stay away for me. I don't know. But that said, 2 Mondays ago when we were sitting here, Kansas, if I remember correctly, got down early and then won the game against Arizona.
What I would do here, down 11-3, I might live bet Kansas, but I want to get 8.5 right now.
Six and a half
is the number. If this goes to 8.5, I'll probably live bet the Jayhawks, but they're off to such a slow start offensively here. I mean, this lead could get bigger for the Cougars before Kansas finally find some sort of rhythm here offensively. So I don't want to take the 6.5 right now. I'm going to wait. You know, you always get that feeling where you want to be a little bit greedy, right? When you're live betting, I want a little bit more. 6.5, that's attractive. Give me 8.5, and I'll probably take that.
You know, Matt, thinking about the futures and going back to it a little bit, one team I'm curious about, and I might wait till the draw comes out. I haven't decided if I want to take a look at their to make the Final Four market, is Arkansas. Defense is not great. It's, you know, I think 50th in the country in defensive efficiency. But what you've seen from Arkansas at least a year ago with the talent that they've got on the roster, that was an Arkansas team that beat St. John's and then really should have beaten Texas Tech in the Sweet 16. Is this an Arkansas team that you can look at in that futures market with a high upside right now? And we're going to talk to Rocco Miller later in the show to kind of get a feel of where these teams are trending. Arkansas is on the 5 line, and I was actually talking to Arkansas alum and super fan Colin Wilson today on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, new episode out now. And I asked him about Arkansas hoops, and he said, I would really love to get off the 4-5 line, because what does that mean? You get the one seed there in the Sweet 16. You'd much rather, as crazy as it sounds, Matt, you'd rather be a 6 than a 4 or 5 this year, because there's a likelihood you're facing Duke, Michigan, or Arizona in the Sweet 16, as opposed to a maybe a vulnerable 2 seed in the Sweet 16.
I don't think it's crazy at all. I've said this forever. You don't want to be the 4.
Yeah.
Because if you're the 4, you're going to have to get through the 1. And that's this year, especially, well, almost every year, you're going to say the 1s are extremely strong. But they definitely look that to be the case this
year. Even though this year you could get a Florida on a 2 or a 3 line. And Florida right now is looking like they're kind of rounding into form a little bit. But we'll see. I mean, Florida's not a great shooting team, and could that come and bite them in the backside?
Yeah, I mean, I don't fear Florida that much. Even though I've got a future on them, I don't think look, you're not going to play any chumps. You're talking about the 2 and 3 seeds. And you might get a fragile 4 seed here and there, but you're not getting any layups when you play the 2 or 3 seeds no matter what. 11-5. Houston over Kansas here. The live total has dipped to 133.5. It closed 138.5 here at Circa.
Got some free throws coming up for Darren Peterson with 13 minutes to go in this one. Matt, we've talked.
I did want to follow up one thing quickly. You said Arkansas?
Arkansas.
Somebody asked me a week ago, if you're going to bet one long shot right now, who would it be? I said, well, I just bet my last long shot. I think St. John's going to be my last one. But if you wanted one more, maybe Arkansas at about 50-1.
Yep. 45-1
out
there.
But I did not play it. Yeah.
I haven't played it yet. I was curious. I was trying to find a 10-1 today on them to make the Final Four. I know DraftKings is plus 950. You looked around town. I think MGM was like 9-1. So,
well, even if you take the 50-1 and they get to the Final Four, you can play with that.
That is true.
Yeah.
Speaking of college hoops, folks, we've got a great deal going on right now. You can get VSiN Pro for everything we have to offer through May 1st for just $29.99. It's called the Hoops Mania Special. With that, you'll also get our March Mania betting guide. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Got the under 11 media timeout right now at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. Houston with a 13-7 lead. They are a 5.5-point favorite in game at DraftKings, and the total, Matt, has dropped from 138.5 to 131. This game closed Houston minus 2.5, 6-point lead for the Cougars, and that number up 3 points right now. Houston minus 270 on the money line. Get back for Kansas at DK is sitting at 2-1.
Yeah, it wouldn't do anything right now. If I get 8.5 with Kansas, I think that'd be my buy sign. I'm pretty much drawing the line there. Down 6, you're not that far away, plus 5.5.
Kansas can't get much worse shooting-wise. They are 1-for-10 from the field to start this game. Their points have pretty much come all from the free throw line. 5 of their 7 points have come courtesy of the free throw line. Darren Peterson, 0-for-3 in the game from the field. 2 free throws so far for the projected number 1 overall pick. But as we have discussed, those odds have shrunk over the past couple of weeks, partly because Darren Peterson has not been available, And partly because A.J. DeBanza continues to be phenomenal, Matt. And I'll let you set up this clip following BYU's impressive win on Saturday night in Provo over Iowa State. DeBanza almost had a triple-double, but his coach was more impressed by something else.
Yeah, Kevin Young, who's got an NBA background, I'm sure he's going to be talking to a lot of scouts about, hey, this is a guy you want. He's going to play hard every night. He's a basketball junkie. Not only that, he can play both ends of the floor. And he did that against Iowa State Saturday night. You and I were both on BYU as a home dog in that game. And we owe A.J. DeBanza a thank you card for the way he played, not just on the offensive end, but on the defensive end, too. And he shut down Milan Momcilovic of Iowa State, a sharpshooter, and held him down in that game. What were the numbers for DeBanza? 29, 10, and 9, something like that? Nearly a triple-double. But on the defensive end of the floor, what nobody talks about is how he played lockdown D. And I think that when you can be a guy who can play both ends of the floor, you're even that much more valuable. Have you heard anyone ever talk about Darren Peterson's defense?
No, not really.
Not really, right? Just talking about how this guy can be an explosive scorer. DeBanza can play both ends of the floor. What do you have against Iowa State?
He had 29, 10, and 9. And Milan Momcilovic was held to 5 points in that game. 5 points. He was 1 of 5 from the field. A.J. DeBanza also played all 40 minutes
all
in their 79-69 win.
He was the primary defender and never left the floor. And it might have been the finest performance of any player this season. For the season, A.J. DeBanza, 24.9 points a game, 6.7 rebounds, 4 assists, shooting 53% from the field, 75% from the line, and 36% from three. I don't really see a weakness in his game. Let's hear his coach, Kevin Young of BYU, talking about A.J. DeBanza.
He's unbelievable. I mean, AJ can do whatever he wants on a basketball court. Whatever he puts his mind to, he can do. And, you know, that's their leading scorer. You know, he held them to 1 of 5. I mean, let's just put it into perspective. AJ played 40 minutes, didn't come out, had 29 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 turnovers against a team that turns over everybody more than anyone in the country, and held their best player for 1 of 5. The guy's an absolute stud. And, you know, I think he's showing people night in and night out how reliable he is. And what I liked about tonight was, you know, he did it on both ends of the floor, and something I've challenged him with from the second I met the young man. So really, really proud of his complete game. I thought it was his most complete game of the season.
He was spectacular, Matt, in what was a desperation spot for BYU, losing Richie Saunders. Mm. Long term, though, you have a superstar, and that's what A.J. DeBanza is. He is an absolute superstar, but Richie Saunders brought something else to the table. What does the future hold for BYU in the tournament without one of their best players?
Well, their ceiling is a lot lower. Richie Saunders averaged, what, 18.5 a game? Valuable three-point shooter, just a team leader. He's your number two scorer behind DeBanza, actually averaged 18 a game. Yeah, shot about 38% from three.
Yep.
And this was a BYU team I thought could be an Elite Eight, maybe a Final Four team if things break right. Without Richie Saunders, I don't know, Tim. Sweet 16, maybe Elite Eight. I think the ceiling's definitely a little bit lower without Saunders. That's a nice win over Iowa State, but I also thought it was a pretty good spot for the home dog, and that was in Provo, and the tournament's going to be a different deal. As I don't think this BYU team's got enough depth to withstand the loss of Richie Saunders. When you talk about getting into the Big 12 tournament, the NCAA tournament, the ceiling's a lot lower. I would not consider futures on BYU at this point. I was considering it before the Saunders injury, because when you really think about teams that make the deepest runs in March, typically have an NBA star, yep, future star, or really, you know, so NBA talent. That's one thing. You know, I look at
and
this,
some great shooting, by the way, and Saunders,
right,
is a great shooter, right? He shoots about 38% from three, as you mentioned. Robert Wright's still there. He shoots well, but doesn't shoot as much as a Saunders. But I do look at tomorrow, Matt. You know, Saturday night, a must-get spot for BYU, right? They had lost 5 of 7 They had just lost to Arizona, even though as a 12-ish point dog, they were feisty. I know you like when I use that word. Down in Tucson, got the cover. Mm-hmm. I think tomorrow night's a tricky spot for them. You know, I'm not saying they're going to lose, but UCF, also kind of a desperate team. They're already out in Utah, so this is not a travel spot for UCF. They went to Utah on Saturday, were able to squeak out a win. And Johnny Dawkins' squad right now, looking at the latest bracketology, I believe they are on the 9 line, 9-10-ish line. So this win could go a ways. And look, you know what UCF is capable of. They beat Florida, covered against Arizona at home. Catching 10 on the road at BYU, maybe a little bit of a come down after that massive win. Going against an elite player like A.J. DeBance is not super fun, but I'm going to take 10 with UCF here in this spot. There are some juice 10.5s if you'd rather go that route, but I took 10 standard juice at minus 110.
Yeah, I've actually got UCF circled here as a potential play, too, because, one, you've got DeBance. You're betting against BYU, but DeBance just played his best game of the season.
Yep.
Probably a little bit of regression there. Also, that was a fallen star theory game. Saunders goes down. BYU, everybody picks their level of play up. Well, the second game after that is sometimes where you see the drop-off. And you're definitely going to see a drop-off further down the
line. This will be the third one. They didn't play with him at Arizona, yeah. But still,
they were surprisingly competitive at Arizona without Saunders. And then you went home and beat Iowa State. Now this is the third game where it could be a little bit of a flat spot. After you play Arizona, Iowa State, the home game against UCF could be a flat spot too. And this UCF team could do what Cincinnati did. Going into Allen Fieldhouse and
double-digit dog
catching Kansas on a bad day. My UCF is a could be a live dog in that game in Provo tomorrow night. I had that one circled as well. 21.
That's gonna be a charge. Yep.
21-15. Houston's got the lead over Kansas with 7.5 minutes to go. Live number still hanging out there at 5.5 and the total 133.5.
Really good card tomorrow, Matt, and we'll dive into a couple situational spots on the other side of the break. I also will dive into the full card in the final hour of the show, but three games jumped out to me from a situational standpoint, and they actually didn't include BYU, but one of the bets that I have already made is UCF plus 10. Tomorrow, maybe you wait, maybe you get a 10.5. I'm once again 10.5 out there, I believe, at DraftKings and MGM at minus 20. So you could pay a little juice, get that hook if you'd prefer. But I took the 10 here with UCF. I really like the fact too, Matt, that UCF is not traveling to this game, right? They've already been in Utah. They already played Utah. They snuck past the Utes in that particular spot. And yeah, it's just common nature after a Saturday night game against a top five team in Iowa State who had just, you know, defeated in back-to-back games Arizona and Kansas. Now you're going to get them, who'd they beat? No, they had beaten Houston and Kansas. I beg your pardon. Iowa State had. So media timeout, Matt. Quickly update the folks on where we are right now. Houston, a 5.5-point favorite, as you mentioned, and 133.5 is the current number. Earlier tonight, UNC is a short home dog. Market actually bet this game up to what? 4.5 one spot? North Carolina gets the win. And I would say this, Matt, it got a little squirrely at the end, but for the most part, UNC was the right side, especially in the second half.
UNC was up 1 at halftime, right?
1 at halftime, then went in a 17-2 run to start the second half. They led 56-40. Louisville chipped away. Ultimately, game landed 77-74.
Here's how volatile live betting can be, and we talked about it during the game. Louisville was up 10 early in the game, and on the live line, Cardinals were 8.5-point favorites.
Yep.
You flip that around early in the second half, North Carolina was an 11.5-point favorite. Was that as big as the number got?
That's the highest I saw. I think
11.5.
56-40 was around 11.
Got about a 20-point swing there in the live number.
If you're betting college hoops, now is the time to get your edge. Right now, you can get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $29.99 with the Hoops Mania Special. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Get our March Mania betting guide. Matt, I know late in the show you get hungry, so let's head to the delicatessen. We've got three sandwich spots to look at on Tuesday night in college basketball.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Four and change left in the first half. Houston, a five-point lead over Kansas. It has been a clunky first half, to say the least, and that is music to the ears of Dustin Sweetelson of cashing out because he has the under 138.5. Quick look at where we are from a live number standpoint. Total 132.5. Spread 3.5 right now in favor of the Houston Cougars 4 minutes ago in this opening half, Matt.
Yeah, Darren Peterson just hit a running floater and impressive play. It shows you what type of offensive skill he's got. But even after that make, he's 2 for 7. In the game tonight, Peterson fires up a three here, misses, let's call it 2 for 8. 25-20, Cougars on top. Update from the association. Game of the night there, Spurs at Pistons. And Pistons went off as 1.5-point favorites, total of 232.5. This game's going to stay under, and the underdog's going to get the win. Spurs up 110-97, just over a minute to go. I've been watching some of this game because Victor Wembanyama, it's obvious the guy's a freak.
He's insane.
He has not been sensational tonight, but it says something when, well, look at that drive and dunk by Kingston Flemings. Talk about Matador defense down the middle of the lane, 27-20 Cougars. When a guy can have just like an average night, doesn't blow you away when you're watching it. And his line is 19 points, 17 rebounds, and 6 blocks. You're talking about maybe the most valuable player in the association. This guy, I just watched one sequence here where the Pistons had a chance to get back into it. They were trying to cut the deficit to about 8. And Wembanyama had an offensive rebound, tipped it out, got the ball back, dunked, and then blocked a shot on the other end. Basically, game over. 110-100 now with a minute to go. Spurs on top, and Spurs going to get the win as short dogs in Detroit. Not a good NBA card tonight, but that's a good game there.
How about 8 offensive rebounds for Victor Wembanyama? Well, the dude is, I mean, it's insane. 4 assists as well. We got the under 4 media timeout.
If you're going to pick one player, say, Tim, you can start an NBA team
tomorrow.
There's no doubt that's who you take.
No question.
Right?
No question.
So he's got to, is he MVP?
Well, I want to get into the MVP discussion here in just a moment because Tom Haberstroh tweeted something out regarding the current leaders in NBA MVP, but the number of games they've missed and whether or not they will be eligible for winning
MVP. I think Wembanyama has missed, 14 games? I would say the Spurs have played 56 or 57. He's played 42 or 43 games.
And you have to, of course, play 65 games. Right. So when you look at SGA, when you look at Jokic, Wemby, certainly something to keep in mind there. So, Matt, we're going to dive into the full card for college basketball here in the final hour. But I wanted to hit on 3 spots. And we talked about the game that we all watched on Saturday night, a great one in Washington, D.C., and I do something on the Saturday tailgate show during the football season. We go to the deli, look at some sandwich spots. And I think there are 3 spots on tomorrow's college basketball card that we should look at as a possible sandwich spot. And look, when you're playing these ugly dogs, it's not going to be all that fun. The Duke Blue Devils, Matt, just beat Michigan. Great environment in the nation's capital. On Saturday, they host Virginia, who you can make a strong case as the second-best team in the ACC. And tomorrow, they got to go to South Bend. And Notre Dame this year has been a wild disappointment. They are in danger of missing the ACC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Their best player, Marcus Burton, has been sidelined most of the year with injury. Their stud freshman, Jalen Harrelson, has already been ruled out for tomorrow. So, Matt, this looks like a classic sleepy spot. Now, the worry is when you back a team like Notre Dame and you've got the saying, don't expect bad teams to do good things. This is a bad basketball team in Notre Dame, but the spot screams to back the Irish here. Notre Dame, a 17.5-point home dog to the Duke Blue Devils tomorrow night. Duke has that fresh number one ranking smell as well.
Well, the problem here with the Irish, they're not nearly at full strength. If we had a Notre Dame team at full strength, I would like to take fewer points and take the Irish as home dogs. But Tim, Who are the Irish missing tomorrow night?
Marcus Burton and Jalen Harrelson.
And Burton's been out for a long time. You're talking about two of your best players. I just don't think the I know the spot is screaming, bet the Irish. I'm not going to do it here because I just don't know if they've got – I think if anything, it might look under the total. Don't you think the Irish are going to struggle to score against this Duke defense?
You're going to need Cole Serta to hit 53s.
I like Cole Serta, and he could hit a bunch, but don't you think the Duke defense is going to be focused on not letting Cole Serta get open three
yes,
looks?
I think they will be.
So if anything, I might look under the total in that game. You could say underdog and under kind of a correlated parlay, but I just don't like the dog. Typically, I'd be on the dog, but you're talking about a shorthanded dog. I might have to pass on Notre Dame.
I might look Notre Dame first half. I see a number out there, 10.5, but not going to be an official play, but might have a small piece on Notre Dame. All right, Matt.
If I walked into the sandwich delicatessen there that you've set up, Murray's Delicatessen, and Duke Notre Dame, I would compare that to the tuna fish sandwich. I would say I'll pass on that one.
All right, no tuna fish. Nope. Is this a sandwich that you would like? How about the team that Duke beat, the Michigan Wolverines, Matt? Michigan coming off the Duke game this Friday night. How about the game we get on Friday night in Champaign? Michigan at Illinois. Mm-hmm. And in the middle, they're at home, but they're playing Nico Medved and the Gophers of Minnesota. And right now that number is 23.5. Also worth noting, Matt, Notre Dame shorthanded, Marcus Burton and Jalen Harrelson out. Jalen Crocker Johnson out for this game for Minnesota as well. Can Nico Medved and one of the slowest teams in the country, slower than Houston, can Minnesota ugly this thing up and keep it within a number of 22.5?
Well, when you talk about teams that play a slow pace, typically they do that because they don't have a lot of talent. They don't have NBA talent, so they want to fewer possessions, a shorter game, gives you a greater chance to win. We saw that with Drake, right, with Ben McCollum. Drake played a really slow pace, and they would just squeeze the life out of teams in the half court. And they would nobody wants to play teams like that to play a really slow pace. Minnesota's like that. I just don't think without Crocker Johnson, who is Minnesota's number two scorer, I don't know if they've got enough scoring to keep up with the Wolverines here. They can try to slow the game down. But it's easier said than done when you're playing a team with Michigan's talent. So it would be dog or pass. I think I'll call this a turkey sandwich. I'm going to have to pass on a turkey sandwich.
All right, he's passing on the dry turkey sandwich. He doesn't like the tuna.
Yeah.
Maybe the Murray Delicatessen has one final sandwich that Matt Eumanns will like. By the way, Kansas has now tied the game up. Trey White hits a 3-27 apiece. We save the best sandwich for last. Arizona, fresh off of a very impressive win over the weekend without Koa Pete. They beat Houston on the road. Coming up on Saturday, Matt, they got a revenge spot against the Kansas Jayhawks. Those Jayhawks were the first team this year to beat them. In the middle, got to go on the road to Waco. Now, this year has been very forgettable for Scott Drew's squad, but they did snap a four-game losing streak on Saturday. At home, they beat Arizona State. The number right now, market-wide, Baylor catching 10 as a home dog against the Arizona Wildcats. Does this sandwich tempt Matt Eumanns?
I'm not going to call this the big kahuna cheesesteak that I would definitely say yes to. That's the number one sandwich that, what's it called?
You talk about, is that Firehouse?
No, nah, it's the East Coast sub shop, drawing a blank. Anyway, one that Mike Trout should be the sponsor of.
Jersey Mike's?
Jersey Mike's.
Okay.
Yeah. Jersey Mike's top sandwich is a big kahuna cheesesteak. I'm not going to put this in that category, but I'll call it the most likely sandwich I'm going to pick off the menu here because Koa Pete is going to be out again.
He's questionable.
I just read.
Is it updated?
Well, I saw on Twitter that he's out. Okay. Now, of course, we don't have that verified yet, so I'll see if I can verify that later tonight. If he's definitely out,
he's listed as questionable right now.
I would look to take the points with Baylor. It was a beat writer, I think, for one of the teams that tweeted that Koa Pete was out or probably going to be out tomorrow in Waco. But, hey, man, they didn't miss him. in the game at Houston over the weekend, which is surprising. But I will look at Baylor as a Bears should be live home dogs in that game. That is a great spot when you're talking about the sandwich spots.
All right. Save the best for last. Kansas, by the way, up 2. We'll update you top of the hour. But just a reminder, folks.
9-0 run.
Get ready to win a larger-than-life World Soccer Championship experience only at Circa Resort and Casino. One lucky winner gets a 2-night stay at Circa VIP Cabana at Stadium Swim. $500 in credit plus $250 in food and beverage. Learn more, CircaLasVegas.com.